ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी रीडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम द 9th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 8 विच इज एंटाइटल्ड द सन्स ऑफ सगर मीट लॉर्ड कपिल देव टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 एंड 13। न साधुवादो मुनिकोपभर्जिता नृपेन्द्रपुत्रा इति सत्वधामनि कथं तमो रोषमयं विभाव्यते जगत्पवित्रात्मनि खेरजो भुवः। ट्रांसलेशन: इट इज समटाइम्स आर्ग्यूड दैट द सन्स ऑफ किंग सगर वर बर्न्ड टू एशेस by the fire emanating from the eyes of Kapil Muni. This statement, however, is not approved by great learned persons, for Kapil Muni's body is completely in the mode of goodness and therefore cannot manifest the mode of ignorance in the form of anger, just as the pure sky cannot be polluted by the dust of the earth. Since there's no purport, we'll read the next text.
Yasseritaha सांख्य मही दृढ़े हनौर यया मुमुक्षुस्तरते दुरत्ययम् भवार्णवं मृत्युपथं विपश्चितः परात्मभूतस्य कथं प्रतन्मतिः।
कपिल मुनि इनन्सिएटेड इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड द सांख्य फिलॉसफी विच इज अ स्ट्रांग बोट विथ विच टू क्रॉस ओवर द ओशन ऑफ नेशंस। इंडीड अ पर्सन ईगर टू क्रॉस द ओशन ऑफ मटेरियल वर्ल्ड मे टेक शेल्टर ऑफ दिस फिलॉसफी। In such a greatly learned person, situated on the elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Purport: one who is promoted to the transcendental position, Brahma Bhuta, is always jubilant, prasannatma. He is unaffected by false distinctions between good and bad in the material world. Therefore, such an exalted person is samaha sarveshu bhuteshu. That is to say, he is equal toward everyone, not distinguishing between friend and enemy. Because he is on the absolute platform, free from material contamination, he is called paratma bhuta or brahma bhuta. Kapil Muni therefore was not at all angry at the sons of Sagar Maharaj. Rather, they were burned to ashes by the heat of their own bodies. So, in this particular section of the Bhagavatam, in the 9th canto, we are reading the story of the descent of Mother Ganga. And since many devotees usually come on for classes on Sundays, so the background to the story is not known. Suddenly you find here, you know, Sagar Maharaj's sons are dead and Kapil Dev is angry or is not angry. So I thought it would be worthwhile to go through the background to this verses and then come here and understand what is happening here in this particular episode of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the story begins with a king whose name is Bahuka, and Bahuka was defeated by his enemies, and defeat is very bitter to handle. You know, when one fails, it is not very easy to handle failures. Especially for a personality who is a Kshatriya, to fail is too much. So when Bahuka failed, he could not stay in the mainstream. He could not remain in his kingdom, he could not remain in his palace. Anyways, his enemies had taken everything away from him. Bahuka entered into the forest as a vanaprastha, along with his wives. And Bahuka was now getting old. In his old age, Bahuka left his body. But when he left his body, one of his wives wanted to jump into the funeral pyre as Sati and give up her life. But Bahuka's guru, Bahuka's spiritual master, whose name was Aurva Muni, he realized that Bahuka's wife was pregnant. And therefore, he forbade her, do not jump into the funeral pyre, because you're carrying the child of Bahuka in your womb. Listening to the good advice given by Aurva Muni, she did not jump into the funeral pyre of her husband. Now, there were many, many other co-wives she had the other wives of Bahuka. And when the other wives came to know that there is no other child born from us and only she is pregnant, they became extremely envious. And obviously now they somehow or the other wanted to kill this wife of Bahuka and obviously the child within the womb as well. This seems to be a recurring theme all the time. Even in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Chitraketu Maharaj, you know, he had 1 million wives. That's a very inconceivable thing. You know, for people who have are married and who live in family to have 1 million wives. I mean, just imagine where is the space to fit on 1 million, you know. And what about the jewelry and everything that all 1 million wives will want? And if 1 million wives want to cook for the husband, which one to eat? That is a big problem. You know, you can imagine what a complex and what a confusing state for Chitraketu Maharaj. But no child. And therefore, this world is a world of buts, you know. Everything may go fine, but if you want to define the material world is defined in one word. The but world. Very simple. The but world. The wife is good, the son is good, the job is good, health is bad, but. Health is good, wife is good, job is good, kids are bad. Another but. Job is good, health is good, kids are good, wife is bad. Everything is good, in-laws are bad. And therefore there cannot be a perfect situation in this world. Therefore world defined in one world. But world. There will always be a but. To keep us miserable in this material world. So Chitraketu did not have a child. And one of his wives bore a child by the blessings of the great sages. But the other wives were so envious that they killed the child. You know. And therefore here we find again Bahuka's wife bearing a child. And what did these other wives do, the co-wives? They mixed poison in her food to kill her. And to kill the last trace of Bahuka's progeny in her womb. Now poison in Sanskrit is called gara. Many words, visha also. But poison in Sanskrit is also called gara. In spite of administering poison to this wife of Bahuka, she didn't die. Quite a powerful lady. She didn't die. And when she gave birth to the child also hadn't died. The child was born. And guess what was the name that the child got? Sagar. Sa is with and gara is poison. One who is born with poison is called Sagar, not Sagar. You know, everyone calls him Sagar Maharaj. He's not Sagar Maharaj, he's Sagar Maharaj. One who was born with poison. And therefore imagine someone born with poison but became the source of nectar later. What a powerful principle. It was Sagar and his entire dynasty later, who was responsible for bringing Ganga in this world, for the descent of Ganga in this world. So birth is sagara, with poison. But the outcome is nectar, Ganga, in the ultimate end. And therefore, there may be poison in the beginning, but life can lead to nectar in the end. And that is the first lesson from the story of Sagar Maharaj. That although born with poison, becomes responsible for the descent of Ganga, Swaradhuni, who is an ocean of nectar, who can purify and cleanse all sins. And this has three aspects to it. In life, there are three kinds of poisons. Austerity in life is a poison. The Gita explains, you know, yatyad agre vishameva. Secondly, difficulties that come in life is poison, very bitter. Very difficult to handle. And thirdly, the anarthas in the heart are like poison. And much doesn't want to handle it. Therefore, we are also sagar. Our life is also sagar. Do not think that the story in the Srimad Bhagavatam is about an ancient king called Sagar Maharaj who was born with poison, but our life is constantly accompanied with poison. Huh? Austerities, difficulties, and misgivings in the heart. And therefore, life is sagar. But although life is sagar, we can understand very carefully that poison can transform into nectar. Sagar Maharaj was responsible for bringing Ganga in this world. And therefore, these three things can bring the biggest and the highest and the sweetest of all nectars, love of God in our lives. Thus, The first is austerity. You know, to perform austerity in life is a very difficult thing. One devotee was mentioning, Prabhupada gave everything nice. In ISKCON, Prabhupada gave everything one very wonderful, except two things. I said, what? You know, he's an initiated devotee. He said, except two things, chanting 16 rounds and fasting on Ekadashi. He said, Sola Mala chad sakta hun, Sola Mala kar nahi sakta. You know, I can climb Sola Mala, 16 floors. Lekin Sola Mala karna, sorry, too much, you know. And Ekadashi, why? Kyun? I think most of us share that experience. What to eat, we don't understand. In our temple, many of our brahmacharis were so fried out with the prasadam that they started fasting nirjal, not out of austerity. Because they didn't find good prasad. Thanks to Gaurang Prabhu. After coming to kitchen, even Ekadashi prasad is good now. So all the nirjal walas have fallen down, most of them. I used to be one of them before. I used to be one of them once upon a time. Fallen down to eat good prasad now. You know. And therefore this devotee was mentioning, why Prabhupada gave these austerities in ISKCON? No one likes to do austerity, you know. It's poisonous. No wonder Lord Krishna speaks. Yattat agre veshameva. Performing austerities in the mode of goodness is in the beginning visham. But pariname amritopamam. In the end, it leads to nectar. Following the four regulative principles, following the austerity of cooperating with devotees, following the austerity of keeping our ego aside and simply letting it go and listening to others, big austerity. Fasting is no big deal. Anyone can fast. Jain monks can fast for 251 days without a drop of water. I know. There was one Jain monk called Sahaj Muniji. And he fasted for 251 days without a single drop of water. If one just Hiranyakashipu also fasted. Right. He also fasted for... I'm not comparing. Don't get me wrong. They're, even Jain souls, Jain monks, they have great amount of austerity, purity. I'm not comparing. I am just saying that there can be great amount of austerity in terms of fasting, but to keep the false ego aside and cooperate with devotees and assist devotees in service to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, that is the greatest austerity in Kali Yuga. If we can fast our false ego, na, that is real fasting. Fasting the belly is no big deal, but fasting the false ego is extremely important. And that is poisonous, you know, extremely poisonous, sagara. But if we do that, the nectar comes. Ganga of the mercy of Guru and Krishna flows into the heart. And when the nectar of Mother Ganga flows in, all the anarthas can be washed away, you know. The world is full of temptation, and therefore to fall to temptation is very easy. Very, very easy. Like one devotee, for 6 months he was practicing Krishna consciousness. Radha Gopinath Prabhu's Gita course he attended. And he came to Radha Gopinath Prabhu and said to Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Prabhu, after I've heard your course and started chanting for 16 rounds for the last 6 months, I've become miserable in my life. What a compliment, my God. You know, coming to the preacher and saying that you made my life miserable. Said, you made my life miserable. I was good before. So what happened? Why? He said, now, every now and then, I have to think whether it's right or wrong. Dahi kharida, uspe kya hai? Ingredient kya hai? Ice cream kharida, uspe kya ingredient hai? Does it have onion garlic? Does it not have onion garlic? Should I say like this? Should I not say like this? Pehle kisi ko bhi kuch bhi bola, what difference it makes? Idhar aaya, Vaishnav aparad. You know? Life was peaceful before, he said. I never had to consider all of this stuff before. I never had to bother. New premiere movie, I have go straight. Now, jau, nahi jau. Wo devotee ko malum padega to? You know, constantly anxiety is there in the mind. What if a devotee comes to me if I go for the movie? I was peaceful before. And I have become miserable. And His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu replied and said, Prabhu, you are making tremendous advancement in Krishna consciousness. Give the dust of your lotus feet and put it on my head. You know? You are 100% Krishna conscious.
Because you're constantly thinking what is right and what is wrong and how to avoid wrong. You may be miserable externally. This austerity may be poisonous. But it'll bring great nectar. You know, it'll lead to the advent of the mercy. The Ganga-like mercy of Guru and Krishna in your life. And therefore, temptations are too many. And to resist is a great austerity. Poisonous to the ego, poisonous to the senses. But if one can do that in good association, then it leads to great nectar in life. And therefore Jesus also prayed, you know, in his prayers. Oh Father, give us this day our daily bread, you know, and lead us not into temptation. That is the highest level of prayer. The prayer to be offered to the deities, there can be many prayers, but one of the greatest prayer is lead us not into temptation. Because there's so many temptations to do wrong, you know. And to perform austerity is very difficult. One guy, he died and he came in front of Yamraj. When he came in front of Yamraj, you know, he saw all, he was 99 years old, when he died. Just 1 year, to a century. 99 years old, he died, he came in front of Yamraj and Yamraj said, you've been a very good man, we'll send you to heaven. So when he went to heaven, he saw the beautiful apsaras, he saw the beautiful foods, he saw the nice music and dance and the somras and everything. And he said, my God, if only I wouldn't have learned pranayama, I would have come 33 years back. You know, because of learning 30 pranayam, my coming to heaven has been delayed by 33 years. 33 years I missed this gratification, you know. And therefore, to fall to temptation is so simple. But Krishna consciousness is all about being in good association and performing the austerity of avoiding temptation. Temptations of the senses, temptation of the mind, and most important of all, temptation of the false ego. Keeping it aside and simply cooperating. And then the end result is Parinami Amritopamam. The result is Amritopamam, nectar. The second kind of poison is difficulties in life. You know, so many difficulties keep coming in life. And they are also very bitter, very, very poisonous, very hard to handle, you know. And therefore, if we take shelter of the Lord, even these poisonous difficulties, these bitter difficulties, which are very difficult to handle, can turn to be the greatest nectar and asset. Therefore, Lord Shiva says, Mahavipattau samsare yahasmaret madhusudana vipattau tasya sampatti bhavet ityaha shankara iti aha shankara. This is the opinion of Lord Shiva, Shankara. What is his opinion? Sansare, in this world, maha vipattau. Vipatti is difficulty. And maha vipatti is great difficulty. Very difficult to handle. But vipatti can change to sampatti. Most, the greatest and the biggest difficulty, vipatti can become our greatest asset and wealth, sampatti. What is the factor that changes it? What is the factor that changes vipatti into sampatti? The patti remains the same. Right. All that needs to change is from vi to sam. From vipatti to sampatti. How does it change? Lord Shiva gives us the clue. Yahasmared Madhusudana. One who remembers the Lord and takes shelter of the Lord. In that shelter, the greatest calamity becomes the greatest opportunity. And the worshipable Lord of all Vaishnavas, Lord Krishna, is one who turns the greatest calamity into opportunity. In that sense, he is an opportunist. Right? Not an opportunist in the wrong sense. In that sense, he is an opportunist, one who learns how to change a calamity into an opportunity. When Trinavarta came from Mathura to Gokul, to Vrindavan, he was lying in the lap of his mother. And it was a great calamity in the life of Krishna and in Vrindavan. But Krishna knew how to transform calamity into opportunity. And what is the opportunity? Hey, I want to take a sky ride. You know, he's coming fine. His enemy is going to take me away. His enemy is going to take me up. His enemy is going to try to kill me. But let me see it as an opportunity to go high up in the sky, get a good helicopter ride along with Trinavarta, And by the way, all these demigods in the heavenly planets have been waiting for a long time to take my darshan. Trinavart will take me up and the demigods will get a darshan. I shall get a sky ride. Yashoda shall get separation, love in separation, and all the devotees in the future will get a pastime to discuss. Right. Transforming a calamity into an opportunity. That is Krishna. And that is a Vaishnava. Devotees of Krishna know how to transform a poisonous calamity, a difficulty, into a wonderful opportunity to grow and advance by taking shelter of the Lord. Therefore, pessimism has no place in Krishna consciousness when we are in good association. You know, like a guy was walking on the street and a bird passed tool on his head. And when the bird passed tool on the head, this guy was thinking what to think. He said, thank God elephants don't fly. You know, you know. Well, he had no choice but to just thank God that elephants don't fly. Well, life doesn't offer too many choices anyways. How many choices does life offer? If life was full of choices, well, choose. We could have chosen many things. But so many things come in our life anyways where there is no choice. The only choice is change of attitude. The only choice is to change this poisonous calamity into nectaring opportunity. You know, by taking shelter of the Lord. And therefore, in the 10th canto, it is explained, Ekadagrihadasishu Yashoda Nandagehini Karmantara Niyuktasu Nirmamanthaswayam Dadhi. Ekada, on one day, on the day of Diwali, Yashoda, one who gives fame to her entire family, Yashoda, one who gives fame to the child, Krishna, to her husband, Nanda Maharaj, who is not an ordinary lady, Nandagehini, the queen of Braj, Nandagehini. Karmantara Niyuktasu, all the Grihadasis were engaged in the regular activities, household activities. And Vallabhacharya explains that she had four varieties of servants. And each servant is explained in great detail by him, which I'm not getting into detail because it's a whole different topic. But four varieties of Grihadasis he had. Personal servants of Yashoda, personal servants of Nanda, personal maid servant, or maid servants who would do the household chores of cleaning, and the maid servants who would cook. Varieties, many, many servants. She's the queen. And all these Grihadasis, Karmantara Niyukta. So they were busy with all their household chores. Therefore, Nirmamantha Swayam Dadhi. She decided to churn the yogurt, Swayam, herself. Because bhakti is not just a chore. It is a great privilege. It is not done by others performing it for us. It is done by ourselves performing it for Krishna. Swayam, she decided to do it for Krishna. And the churning of the yogurt is very significant to life. Why? Because yogurt represents life. You know? And when, yogurt represents life. How? Because when lemon is added to milk, that becomes yogurt. And in life, a lot of times there is sourness that is added. How people come and talk to us, how people behave with us, how people deal with us, how people insult us. Oh my God, day in and day out. Life is such, you know, life is such, where we have to go through such sourness because of people around us. Many times intentionally done to us, and many times not intentionally done, but just the personality. And therefore, milk turns into yogurt. And life, which seemingly goes fine, becomes sour because of the dealings of people around us. You know, one can't give up. One can't give up. In Niti Shastra, it says, Samsare katu vrikshasya dvephale madhuropame. Samsare katu vrikshasya. Samsar is a katu vriksha. It is a tree of bitterness. This world is a tree of bitterness. Samsare katu vrikshasya dvephale. On this tree of bitterness, the bitter tree of this world, dvephale, there are two fruits, madhuropame, which are sweet. There are only two sweet fruits on this tree. Subhashitam cha suswadu, sweet, kind, encouraging, appreciative, uplifting, non-agitating, truthful speech. Subhashitam cha suswadu. That is the only thing. Already disturbed. Why disturb more? I told that, isn't it? Last time that our Akinchan Krishnaprabhu was mentioning in the class, someone was wearing a t-shirt which said, do not disturb. Already disturbed. You know, already the mind is disturbed. Why get disturbed more? And therefore, amongst the Vaishnava community, amongst devotees, there is already too much sourness added to the milk of life to turn it to yogurt. At least sweet, kind, good words, encouraging, appreciative, uplifting words, pacify the heart, you know. And therefore, on this bitter tree of the world, the first sweet fruit is Subhashitam cha suswadu. And the second, Sangatir sajjanairjane, sajjan sangati, the association of wonderful devotees. When one has the association of wonderful devotees, in that association, every bitter experience can be handled nicely. The sourness that comes because of dealings of people in our life and heart becomes so sour. Oh my God, how people speak and deal with us, you know. And therefore, these two things are the sweet fruits on this tree of material existence. And then, that's not all. The yogurt was there and Mother Jashoda started churning the yogurt. And the churning is compared to the difficulties in life. And therefore, when the yogurt pot is there, all the troubles and problems and difficulties are like the churning rod, and the churning happens. Oh my God, how the churning happens. Really troublesome in life. But when the churning happens, Yashoda continues to churn. But along with the churning, what she does? Yani yani ha geetani tadbala charitani cha. Yani yani ha geetani. Kya karti hai? Geet gaati hai. She sings songs. What songs? Michael Jackson songs. Asha Bhosle songs. Which songs? Tat bala charitani cha. Bala charit. The charit of her child, Krishna. How he killed this demon, how he killed that demon. And she continues to sing that. As she's continuing to sing that and churning, what happens? The blob of butter comes up, you know. That butter which is meant to be offered to Lord Krishna. And the rest is buttermilk. Peena hai, phekna hai, phek do. No problem. Drink it, good medical value. Don't want to drink it, pour it on the plants. No problem. The greatest value, butter, tasty for eating, havishanna and ghee for yagya comes out of the churning. You know, initially sour, milk is curdled, then it is churned, poisonous, ends up with butter. And what are the two qualities of butter? Butter has two qualities. It is extremely soft and tender, and it is extremely pure and pristine white. Therefore, Yashoda's churning butter on the day of Diwali is not insignificant and just some story. There is great life relevance to what is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Life will present sourness, turn the milk to yogurt. Life will present difficulties with the churning rod and churn our minds. But if there is Yani Yani Hagitani, chanting of the holy names, accompanied with this, what comes up is butter. The heart becomes soft and tender like butter, and the heart becomes pure and pristine white, clean like butter, now offerable to Krishna. Mother Yashoda makes this butter herself and offers it to Krishna. And therefore, although life is sagara, all the difficulties is poison in the beginning, but when one takes shelter of the Lord, it will ultimately lead to great nectar of Krishna consciousness, the mercy of the Lord. And the third thing regarding sagara, I mean, I'm covering about out of the 9 or 10 points is the first one. So we will go till whenever, right, 9:30 already. The last one is poisonous anarthas in the mind. Oh, it's very difficult, you know. When all of the envy and the lust and the jealousy and the illusion and all the greed and all of this surfs up, and when we know that we are not supposed to succumb to it, it creates great amount of trouble for a sadhaka, for a practitioner, devotee. And it's very poisonous. of all the things, envy is very poisonous, you know, very, very poisonous. Bahuka's wives, you know, gave poison to the child. That's how Sagar was born, along with poison. Very, very poisonous. And especially if you know, envy is there in the heart and we don't keep hearing about it, no problem. We are comfortable. But we come for Bhagavatam class. Every second class is like that. Every second class we hear, this is how it will happen. This is what it does to us. This is what it is. This is how bad it is. It will not make us advance. And we keep getting complexes in our mind. My God, my heart is full of it. How should I deal with it? What should I do with it? Poisonous, you know, in the heart. Tremendous amounts of these anarthas. And therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when we went for his book launch to Kolkata, he was giving amazing classes on the episode of Maharaj Prithu from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was mentioning, how was Prithu born? Prithu was born from a very poisonous personality, Vena. You know, Vena, no matter how much they tried to correct him, all the efforts to change Vena went in vain. You know, Vena could not change. All the efforts were in vain. And then finally he was killed. And then the Brahmanas churned his thigh along with the chanting of the mantras. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining, when his thigh was churned along with the chanting of mantras, an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the most poisonous personality, Vena, from his thigh, you know, beginning with poison, beginning with a catastrophe, beginning with problem and trouble, Vena. And what appeared? Maharaj Prithu, you know. But what was in the middle was two things, Brahmanas and mantra, devotees and chanting, two things. Therefore, the heart is like the thigh of Vena Maharaj. You know, poisonous, low class, always troublemaking. Devotees are like the Brahmanas. The mantras is the holy name. And when the thigh was churned by the Brahmanas with the mantras, Prithu Maharaj appeared. When the heart is churned with the chanting of the holy names and in the association of devotees, under the guidance of good devotees, the outcome is nectar, Krishna Prema, that comes within the heart. And therefore, Maharaj was mentioning such a significant episode, you know, from Vena, Prithu comes. From the heart, love comes. But Vena is poisonous. Prithu is an incarnation. The heart is full of anarthas. Krishna Prema can come in the heart by these two things, association and chanting. And therefore, this episode is so significant. There's just one or two verses inside here, actually. Very powerful, that Bahuka's son Sagar appears with poison and he becomes the cause of the descent of Mother Ganga, the first cause in this whole legacy down there. Similarly, in these three things in life, first, austerities, second, difficulties, and third is the misgivings and the anarthas in the heart. So our life is nothing different from Sagar, really, you know, accompanied with these three kinds of poison. And if we take the right steps and endure, eventually nectar comes about. Sagar, the second point, was a very noble king. And he had many noble qualities. What were his noble qualities? The first noble quality he had was that he was very, very kind and just. Sagar was the one who gave all the oceans of the world dominion over this planet Earth. Therefore, the ocean got the name Sagar. Right. From Sagar, Sagar. Why all the oceans are called Sagar? Because it was Sagar who gave all the oceans dominion and rule over planet Earth. Therefore, the oceans can stay here and rule over. Right. Therefore, the oceans were called Sagar. When Hanumanji was going to Lanka to look for Mother Sita, as he was passing over the waters, suddenly the ocean god Varuna, Sagar, he remembered that Sagar was the one originally, Ram's ancestor, because Ram, we will read, appears in the dynasty of Raghu and in Sagar's line. Ram's ancestor, Sagar Maharaj, way back, decades and centuries back, had helped me. And therefore, now I should reciprocate back. This Hanuman is going to serve Lord Ram, na? And Ram's ancestors helped me, na? I should help this Hanuman to serve him in some way. And like Gaurang Prabhu, I was hearing one of his classes, very nice point he made. He was saying that good memory does not simply mean to cram facts and figures. Good memory means to remember the good that has been done to us by others. Several centuries had passed by that Sagar had held the ocean. Sagar. But in spite of so much time passing, still Sagar, Varundev remembered that Sagar had helped me. I should do something for him. So he said, okay, I'll do something. He called the mountain Mainak and said, hey, you golden Mainak, come here. Myself, I was helped by Ram's ancestor, but you were also helped. Who helped you? Hanuman's father, Vayu, helped you. When Indra had hurled all these thunderbolts and cut the wings of all the mountains because mountains could fly previously. And all the wings were cut. When your wings were cut, you didn't know where to go. And it was I, the ocean, who gave you shelter. But you know who brought you here? Vayu, very gently, would fall off on the planet Earth. Vayu held you gently and put you in my custody. And therefore, I am grateful to Sagar and you should be grateful to Vayu. And therefore, we should serve Ram and Hanuman both. You know. And therefore, they were extremely grateful. You know. And thus, Mainak came up and gave the resting place Hanuman, which he did not accept, and he went ahead. You know. And thus, it is very important to understand that gratitude is a very powerful quality. We may forget everything else, no problem. If everything else in the world is forgotten, no problem. One thing should never be forgotten. And that is the good that the Lord, the spiritual master, the Acharyas and the Vaishnavas have done unto us. And whatever we could do to pay back for what we have received will be the greatest treasure and asset of our life. You know, everything else forgotten, no problem. Shlokas, who cares? Good, purifying. But if we don't remember any shlokas, doesn't matter. Krishna in Goloka doesn't see any shloka. You know, Goloka is not about shloka. You know, Goloka is about a grateful heart. Golok consciousness is grateful consciousness. And therefore here, Sagar Maharaj had done such a favor, you know, to the ocean god. And he remembered, I must pay back. And another thing is, any investment made na will come back. Any investment made will come back. When had Sagar Maharaj helped the ocean? Long back. Decades and centuries later, in the mission of Lord Ram, Sagar assisted him. And therefore, investment in acts of kindness and investment in acts of Krishna consciousness will always pay back. It will definitely come back. If not today, tomorrow, a decade later, a century later, a lifetime later, or 100 lifetimes later. But it will definitely pay back. Another very noble quality of Sagar Maharaj was he was very submissive to his guru. Aurva Muni, you know, Sagar Maharaj was a Kshatriya. You know what happens when one is a Kshatriya, very strong nature, want to kill, bash, smash, thrash. That's Kshatriyas. That conditioning is there. You know, passion is there. And when the passion is there, that conditioned nature has to be used. So Kshatriyas are allowed to use that nature. So there were the Barbaras, the Haihayas, the Talajanghas, you know, all of these personalities, low class personalities. And Sagar Maharaj, realizing that they are useless personalities, started brutally killing them. His nature, strong nature, brutally murdering and slaughtering and killing them. From the word Barbaras comes the word barbaric, by the way. You know, Barbaras was a community of people, a caste of people. Barbaric civilization that we use comes from Barbaras. And as Sagar Maharaj started killing them by the millions, Aurva Muni realized it is too much. So spiritual master does three things to a disciple. First, he forbids him to use his conditioned nature in an unjust way. Conditioned nature is there, it has to be used. But don't use it in an unjust way where it commits trouble to others around you. Second, but what do you do with your conditioned nature? The spiritual master engages that conditioned nature constructively. And thirdly, the spiritual master helps to uplift that conditioned nature and transcend that conditioned nature eventually in life. Forbid, engage, uplift. That is a spiritual master. Three words. You know, forbidding the disciple to have his conditioned nature trouble others. Engaging the disciple's conditioned nature in a fruitful way for the mission. And uplifting the conditioned nature of the disciple to slowly transcend it. Help him transcend it, you know. And therefore, many times, conditioned nature makes us overdo things. We are told to do a service, Prabhu, you know, you should stop people from, you know, barging into the line. Service. But then there is a conditioned nature to it. Service hai, in the name of doing the service, we many times overdo it and hurt other devotees. You know, bola hai rokne ke liye, lekin chilla ke rokne ke liye nahi bola hai. But the conditioned nature is such that it will come forth. And even in doing the service, we will overdo it because of the conditioned nature. Look at this Sagar Maharaj here. He's a Kshatriya. He has a conditioned nature. He should protect his kingdom. He should kill these people. But he's overdoing it. Look at Dhruva Maharaj. He was overdoing it, killing the Yakshas. And Kuvera had to come and tell, stop, Baba. One Yaksha killed your brother, not all the Yakshas. Do not kill all the Yakshas. You know, stop it. That is the nature of a great soul, to stop a disciple, a devotee, from overdoing something in the name of service because of his conditioned nature. Srila Prabhupada did that for so many of his disciples. You know, one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, in the prasad, no, they're putting too much butter, ghee and sugar. You know, Prabhupada didn't give him too much attention. I'm not supportive of this. I'm not saying that we must eat too much butter, ghee, sugar. But Prabhupada didn't give too much attention. Again, after a few days, Prabhupada, too much ghee, too much butter, too much sugar. 4 or 5 occasions he came there. And Prabhupada realized, he's concerned, he wants to serve, he wants to help, fine. But his conditioned nature is passionate, complaining, cribbing, coming again and badgering me. Brahmanand Prabhu, huge, you know, was standing right next to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked at this devotee and then looked at Brahmanand Prabhu. Said, look at his size. It's all because of butter, ghee and sugar. And if you don't shut up now, I'll ask him to kill you. Prabhupada said, if you don't stop your badgering me now, I'll ask this Brahmananda to finish you off. Of course, not in the literal sense, obviously. But Prabhupada, what he was trying to say is, okay, fine, your concern's taken well. Don't overdo, you know. And therefore, the first thing that the spiritual master does is forbids a disciple from overdoing what he's doing due to his conditioned nature. And a disciple is submissive. As soon as Aurva Muni told him, don't kill them, he stopped. Sagar Maharaj stopped. The guru is very great and he will say, don't do it. He knows what to do. He knows how to stop the disciple. And the disciple also has to be submissive to understand that guru knows more than me. And therefore, I should not overdo it if he feels it's overdoing it. So how to do it then? But the nature is still there. So what did Aurva Muni do? He said, don't kill them, fine, but you can punish them. So therefore, if you read, yesterday Rohini Priyapuru gave class, in one of the verses, it describes what he did. He shaved someone's head, half. He took someone's half mustache off. You know, he took off the dress of someone, outer dress. He took off the inner dress of someone. It's there in the verse. It's there in the shloka. And he punished them in different ways and spared them and left them. Not that you don't do it, but don't overdo it, you know. And therefore, the second is, the spiritual master engages the conditioned nature of the disciple in a way that will be fruitful for the society. And Srila Prabhupada was very expert at that. Srila Prabhupada created what is called as the pizza effect. You know, he created this pizza effect in ISKCON. What is the pizza effect? In Italy, no one knew pizza a couple of years back. Even in Italy, where pizza comes from, it was a poor man's food. You know, some they would take this little dough and they would put it with their hands like ladies in Maharashtra make bhakri, you know. They would make it like this. And they didn't even have an electric oven or anything. They would have some wood and just bake it in there. And the cheapest, easiest available vegetable was tomato. Not that it was anything special or tasty there. That's what they had. And they took this tomato, made the sauce and put it on top of that. They didn't have rosemary. They didn't have oregano. They didn't have basil. They didn't have Parmesan cheese. They didn't have mozzarella cheese. They didn't have cheddar cheese. They didn't have rosemary. They didn't have artichoke hearts. You know, they didn't have anything. All they had is a base, some tomato sauce on top of that, or khao, garib ka khana. And in Italy, if anyone would say, what did you eat today, pizza? Chi! You ate pizza? That is a farmer, garib farmer's food. You know? And then somehow, pizza, the concept of pizza reached America. You know what the next story is. When the concept of pizza reached America, then the crust became crisp. Then it was a wood-fired oven. Then there was tomato sauce with all special herbs. Then there was a combination of Parmesan, which is very expensive by the way, mozzarella and cheddar to give it just the right consistencies to eat, you know, when you eat. And then Kalamato olives, you know, all varieties of spices. And then, from America, the pizza revolution started, you know. And everywhere around, pizza, 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 and pizza came back to Italy also. Are you pizza? You can imagine. One can imagine. You know, my God, pizza. What a pizza, best food. Huh? All over the world, Europe, India, Canada, Middle East, today, go anywhere. Pizza, 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 everywhere, isn't it? Prabhupada did exactly this. In India, who appreciated the pizza, Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Who appreciated the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas, Krishna consciousness? No one. Huh? No one. Prabhupada realized, one country can make it special. Uh-huh. America. Because everyone took them as leaders and they still take them as leaders. And everyone in India wants to follow the Western civilization. So Prabhupada took the pizza, the Gita, the process of Krishna consciousness to the West. And then so many spices were added. Rock Hare Krishna. Jazz Hare Krishna. You know, pop Hare Krishna. Hip hop Hare Krishna. And all the Indians said, wow, we didn't know Hare Krishna was so good. We didn't know pizza was so good. And then Prabhupada said, I brought my dancing white elephants back. And how the pizza effect took place, how Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, how these American boys and girls, these amazing disciples of Srila Prabhupada, how they assisted him. And in spite of all conflicts because of their conditioned nature, Prabhupada knew how to engage them in fruitful ways, in a way that Krishna consciousness will spread. When there was a conflict between the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party and the different temples of ISKCON, they realized. Prabhupada knew that, you know, Radha Damodar party led by Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Swami was doing so well. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj's strong nature of organizing, managing, putting things in such an amazing way that results were obvious. But Prabhupada saw that the temple presidents were coming and complaining, Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj comes and takes our men away. Obviously, they were so inspired. Seeing, you know, all the brahmacharis were so inspired, they're going out on the street distributing books. Temple was becoming empty, no brahmacharis in the temple, and the grihastha temple presidents were having trouble. Who will manage? You know. So they came to Srila Prabhupada and complained, Prabhupada, this is what is happening. Prabhupada did not undo it. Prabhupada knew that is his nature, to organize, to do it in this way. Fine, let me engage it rightly. Prabhupada sent him to China. You know. And the pizza effect took place. Look at what China is today. Srila Prabhupada said, the Chinese will be the last to come to Krishna consciousness, but the best of all devotees. And we can see, in such trying circumstances, one can ask Sridhar Mahaprabhu, you can talk to Sridhar Mahaprabhu and he'll tell you what it is. So difficult, so adverse, and such incredibly amazing devotees. I've heard a couple of stories about the Chinese devotees. Such amazing devotees, you know. How? Srila Prabhupada knew that is a spiritual master. how to engage. Arumuni knew, I can't stop him from doing it. I can stop him from overdoing it, which is troubling others. But the spiritual master forbids the disciple from using a conditioned nature in a way that disturbs the others, but it doesn't stop him using his nature, because that conditioned nature can be fruitfully used to bring about amazing, incredible results in service to the Supreme Lord and the Guru Parampara. And the last what the spiritual master does is, he uplifts the disciple by connecting him to Krishna. Therefore, Auramuni did not simply ask him to stop killing. Auramuni told him, Yoga Upadeshtena, you perform Ashwamedha Yajna now. Connect to Krishna. Not just stop this, not just the Nished, but the Vidhi. And what is the Vidhi of transcending conditioned nature? Ashwamedha Yajna for Sagar Maharaj. And what is the Vidhi that the Guru, that Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters give us? The process of chanting Hare Krishna, Sankirtan Yajna. The process of Sankirtan Yajna, in which one can connect to Krishna and slowly transcend one's conditioned nature and learn how to cooperate and not just keep one's nature on, you know. And therefore, cooperation means so many rivers. Ganga, Jamuna, Narmada, Kaveri, Sindhu, so many rivers. All of waters, different colors, sizes, different. Their basins, different. The flow, different. But everyone comes to the ocean unanimously and merges with that ocean. So ISKCON is nothing but rivers. So many different rivers. One is a big river, one is a small river. One's river's waters are blue, one other river's waters are green, other is aquamarine, other is black waters, all different individuals. But the ocean is compared to the will of Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master. And therefore all devotees are willing to keep their own waters and their own forms and shapes as rivers aside and come together in the ocean of cooperation. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other in pushing forward this mission. And therefore Guru gives us that Krishna connection. Aurva Muni gave Sagar Maharaj that connection to Krishna through Ashwamedha Yajna, by which his conditioned nature could be transcended. So forbidden him from killing, overdoing, engaged him so that he doesn't feel that his nature is not used, he punished them duly and uplifted him by that connection to Krishna. One Gurukuli boy, little boy in Gurukul, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada and he said, dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to your divine grace. I am very happy here. And I love the devotees here. The prasadam is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. In fact, our classroom sessions where they teach us academics is also fantastic, Srila Prabhupada. And my favorite subject is maths. Prabhupada was reading this letter. And he was a little child about first class, class one, class two, whatever. And he wrote to Prabhupada, he wrote what he had learned in maths. He wrote in the letter, Prabhupada, I have learned 2 plus 2 is equal to 4 and 4 plus 4 is equal to 8. And Prabhupada read this letter, he was very happy. And Prabhupada took out the time to reply this letter. Amazing, isn't it? A child is writing a letter saying, Prabhupada, I like maths and I have learned that 2 plus 2 is 4 and 4 plus 4 is 8. And Prabhupada took the time to reply the letter and Prabhupada said, dear, whatever his name was, please accept my blessings and good wishes. I am very happy to hear that you are satisfied. I am very happy to hear that you like maths. Your equations were very good. I will teach you a new equation. And in that letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote the equation. And Prabhupada said, Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada ki? Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vaikuntha. You know? And therefore, in life, so many things around here and there. But Krishna plus anywhere, Krishna plus anything, Krishna plus any situation is equal to Vaikuntha. And it is a spiritual master who brings that Krishna in our lives to change and uplift us to Vaikuntha platform. And therefore, Sagar Muni was dealt with by Aurva Muni in an amazing way if we read this. Forbidding, engaging, uplifting. And then, as the Ashwamedha Yajna was being performed by him, you know what happened. Indra got very upset. And he came and he stole away the horse from the Ashwamedha Yajna that Sagar Maharaj was performing. It was the order of his guru. And what the thing that was most crucial and needed to perform the sacrifice finally was stolen by Indra. You know? Similarly, guru instructs us to perform Sankirtan Yajna and Maya comes to steal the most crucial element needed to do the Purnahuti. In any sacrifice, Purnahuti is needed. The final oblations. And when the final oblations are done and Purnahuti, then Yajna successful. So Sagar Maharaj is doing Ashwamedha Yajna, and in Ashwamedha Yajna, the Purnahuti is to put the horse in the fire. You know? Now the horse is stolen. The most crucial time. Without Purnahuti, Yajna unsuccessful. Without Purnahuti, Nam Sankirtan Yajna and Japa is also unsuccessful. And like Indra stole the horse away, Maya comes to steal that most crucial element, which is the Purnahuti for Japa Yajna. Yajnanam Japa Yajyosmi, Krishna says in the Gita. You know, what is that element of Purnahuti? Concentration, focus, you know, attention to chanting. Therefore, the offense, last cause of all offenses is to be inattentive in chanting. And what does Maya steal? Indra stole the horse away. Maya steals our attention and our focus away and finished. Then what's next? The yajna is not successful. Chanting, fingering the beads, you know, lips are chanting, but the most crucial element that's needed for the Purnahuti, success of the yajna, is stolen by Indra. Here it's stolen by Maya. And the mind is hovering around with so many past memories of the wrongdoings, with so many future worries, and with so many present anxieties. You know, the past, with memories of the past, the future, worries about the future, and present anxieties. Someone sent me an SMS saying, what is the opposite of Jogesh worry? Jogesh, don't worry. But you tell devotees, don't worry too hard. Someone asked, what is the opposite of Domi knows? Domi doesn't know. Domi knows, so Domi doesn't. What is the opposite of Pizza Hut? Say, Pizza Hut mat. Pizza Hut, Pizza Hut. But you tell, don't worry, don't worry. What is the use of just saying, don't worry? Doesn't work like that. You know, very difficult. Very difficult. Indra is clever. When it's time to bring success, na, takes away the horse. Maya is very clever. She knows the only success is possible when the mala is in the hand and the mind is with the mala. I heard Gaurang Prabhu saying one nice thing once. He said, when the tongue is vibrating, the mind is quiet. When the tongue is quiet, the mind starts vibrating. You know, therefore, one should keep vibrating the tongue, he says, chanting Hare Krishna. Then the mind will be slowly pacified. But the mind puts so many obstacles on the path of chanting. Maya steals the horse away. Prabhupada once was walking with devotees and they passed through a zoo. They took a detour. Prabhupada said, we'll go through the zoo. And as they were going through the zoo, there were brahmacharis with him. And one particular cage, there was a tiger. And the tiger had given birth to a little tiger cub. So little, very cute tiger cub. A little sleeping. You know how all little cubs look beautiful. With this tiger cub, very, very sweet, sleeping inside, sleeping. So brahmachari thought, bachcha hai. Tiger ka bachcha hai, kya karega? You know. So the brahmachari took a twig, a branch of a tree. And cage mein hai toh dar nahi, kuch karega toh bhi bahar thodi aayega. Prabhupada was walking ahead. And this brahmachari in the back, he poked this baby tiger from the ground. You know. And the baby tiger got up and started roaring loudly. And brahmachari was scared and Prabhupada turned back. You know. And Prabhupada realized the brahmachari, rather than being attentive to what he was saying, was attentive to poke the baby tiger. And then Prabhupada looked at this devotee, brahmachari, and he said, you know what this baby tiger is? This is Maya, he said. Looks so cute. Looks so innocent. Looks so harmless. Looks so non-troublesome. But don't poke her, he said. If you poke her, trouble is coming our way, he said. You know, definitely. Another morning walk, Prabhupada was walking. And on this morning walk, as he was going, Prabhupada, one devotee said, Prabhupada, look at this oceanic waves. They are so beautiful. They are so gracious. Prabhupada said, Prabhu, these waves are beautiful only from a distance. Go close and these waves will drown you. And he said, this is Maya. From a distance, she looks very, very beautiful and glamorous. Go close and these waves will drown you, he said. And therefore, Maya is very clever. Looks very innocent, very cute, very pretty, very alluring. But she is like Indra. Steals the most important ingredient for the success of the yagya. The horse. Concentration. Away. And how to deal with this? I was reading this book by His Holiness Devamrit Swami. Very, very good book. Called Bhakti Bhav. This is a book based on his lectures in Ukraine. Very nice book. And one particular chapter I was tremendously inspired by and has helped me in the last 6 months tremendously. This particular section, very simple basic points, but the simple basic points were so profound, left a lasting impact on me personally, therefore I'm sharing it with great conviction. This whole chapter is entitled, Can We Train Our Emotions How to Feel? Can one actually train your emotions how to feel? We know how to feel, we have spoken how to feel, we have read how to feel when a devotee says this or that, but can we actually feel like that? And he's given a very nice dimension to it. He says, what Prabhupada said about these thoughts during japa, you know, when all these past memories and future worries and present anxieties haunt the mind when one is chanting Hare Krishna, we give different examples, no? Oh, the cleansing of the room is happening, so the dust is coming up. That's all true. Purification is happening. What was Prabhupada's viewpoint on this? Devamrita Swami was explaining, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna deliberately sends these thoughts to a devotee. Paramatma in the heart, Jaan Bujke, deliberately sends all these anxieties, worries, haunting memories in the heart of a devotee. Why? Sadist or what? You know, is Krishna a sadist? See how he's suffering now. Good. Suffer. Like Hare Krishna kara, how his mind is suffering. Is he sadist? He wants to get pleasure out of that? No. Srila Prabhupada, Devamrita Swami was explaining, said that Krishna deliberately sends these thoughts because he wants the devotee to choose. Love means choice. And we have forgotten to choose Krishna from time immemorial. You have kept choosing Maya, and our choice muscles have become very weak. Because the choice muscles have become weak, the choice muscles have to be made strong. When the muscles become weak, now we need a workout. People go to the gold gym. You know, they go to the gold gym to do a workout so their muscles can become strong. What is that gym where the choice muscles can be made strong? Devamrita Swami says, Krishna deliberately puts these thoughts so that we can choose and push those thoughts out. Choose and push those thoughts out. And when we push, that pushing is a push-up. Like for building muscles, we have push-ups. Where our muscles are built, internally we also have push-ups. Where we try and push these thoughts and these haunting memories out and make our choice muscles stronger so we can always keep choosing Krishna over Maya. It's a beautiful chapter and there's much more to it than what I'm saying. And in good association, it's so easy. When we see a devotee sitting right next to us and really, really trying to get into chanting, no matter what we have, doesn't matter. At least there is an aspiration in the heart. Badalna chahiye. I want to do it right. And Devamrita Swami says, this is what Krishna was waiting for. That small change and aspiration that I want to change. Many times there is no even desire to change. But Krishna is waiting. I want to change that aspiration. When we see devotees, nice devotees with good qualities doing rightly, and even a slight thing that we feel, अरे नहीं उसके जैसा थोड़ा बदलना चाहिए. You know what happens? The neutral Paramatma in the heart becomes active Bhagwan. The Paramatma is neutral there in the heart, does nothing, just witnesses what we are doing and witnesses the struggle. But as soon as there is an aspiration and some effort to this push-up, Paramatma becomes Bhagwan, active, immediately springs into action. and starts helping the devotee. And therefore, this whole concept of remaining in association and developing noble aspirations by seeing the example of fantastic devotees. Someone dances in kirtan so enthusiastically and suddenly we feel, arre thoda iske jaisa enthusiasm chahiye. Someone is chanting and struggling to be attentive, trying to push Krishna and said, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Arre ye itna kar raha hai, mereko thoda to karna chahiye. You know? Suddenly noble aspirations develop. Therefore, association is defined as a sangha of wonderful devotees who contribute to us what? Noble aspirations. Wonderful noble aspirations which we would never be able to develop on our own, but just remaining amongst these devotees, suddenly seeing them, nahi nahi, thoda to sudharna chahiye abhi. And as soon as we develop that and put some small effort by guidance, pushing out these thoughts, Krishna comes and starts helping the devotee full-fledged into action. Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. Krishna also does deep dan. We do deep dan in the month of Damodar to him, but when we do it in the association of devotees, he does deep dan from inside, jnana deepena bhasvata, right, by destroying the ignorance from within. And therefore we find here Sagar Maharaj, you know, Indra is stealing the horse and there is much more to it. The whole life of a sadhaka is defined in the story, actually, till Ganga comes. Fully, everything related to japa and sadhana. How Sagar Maharaj puts effort to get the horse back, what a devotee does to get his mind back, everything is there progressively in the story. But of course, it's 10 past 10. So I wish to thank all the devotees very much for kind hearing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jaya Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.